The Joe Rogan Experience.
Train by day, Joe Rogan podcast by night, all day.
Is that a new thing you're doing there, DJs?
I'm just really stoned.
DJ RD. Powerful Bill Burr. Good to see you, buddy.
What's going on? Good to see you too, sir.
It's fucking awesome to have you come down here again. Always a good time. And you were telling a fucking hilarious story about eating a pot brownie and about how fucked up it got you.
Yeah, I did that. No, it's brutal.
I guess this is a story that you had told on our first podcast, but I forgot it. But it's fucking hilarious. It's true, kids. Don't just eat pot. That shit is way stronger than smoking pot. 4 to 5 times more psychoactive.
Yeah, nobody told me that. The person I was with didn't know. And, so I had 2.5. I have a sweet tooth, you know what I mean?
Oh, no.
So I had one. She had half of one, right? She had half of one. Then I ate her other half. I don't remember. And then there was another half left, and I threw that. Because she was getting high, and I wasn't feeling anything. And then we got in a car and went to Newark Airport to go fly to Costa Rica. And by the time I got there, dude, it was insane. I was like borderline like hallucinating.
Dude, the eating of it is like if you go back to like early literature on hash eating, like what would the kind of things that people were describing when they were eating hash, these incredible psychedelic experiences. People don't realize that's not just like getting high. You're not just like smoking a little reefer and kicking back and, hey, this movie's kind of funny. This fucking pizza tastes so good now. No, you ate 2 pot brownies where you probably should have ate a quarter of one of them because they're fucking notoriously strong. Nobody ever – when was the last time you ever heard of anybody getting like really shitty brownies?
7 days ago.
7 days ago you heard of someone getting shitty brownies?
Me. I got shitty brownies.
Where?
I think they were mushroom brownies.
Oh, you just got them from a dude.
Some guy just gave it to me at a fucking show, and then I felt like I was tripping.
You're crazy. You're eating things people are just giving you at
shows. Yeah, that's like Jim Morrison shit, walking down the street, eating whatever anybody gives you.
Yeah, I go to a dispensary that I trust, and you get used to whatever their sort of labeling is. You know, but when you got to ask them, like, what do you do?
It really
what
is the new frontier. Yeah. There's really no, like governmental sticker that's on there. Like, this is, you know, 4.5%
well, then
alcohol.
It gets silly because they have, like, X's, like, especially baked goods. See, with marijuana, if it's just the marijuana that you smoke, it's pretty obvious. You know, it's all, even if it's really strong marijuana, it's still, you know what you're smoking, you know what the size of it is, you know how much THC is going to get in there from a bowl or a joint. When you eat something, they have these weird labels on them, like 5X and 3X. But X is, there's no real X. It's not like X equals 10 milligrams. It's just, they're just making it up. So it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, no, so just smelling when you guys smoked it took me back to that fucking horrific.
I could tell.
And I was
I could
just
tell.
Like, yeah, I'm all set on. It'd be like if you ever puked on a drink, you know what I mean? Like a long time ago, one of the worst I ever puked was drinking rum and Cokes. And for like 25 years, I never had another rum and Coke. Not 25. What am I talking about? That old. Like 20 years.
You just smelled it and it would just make you sick.
I just immediately associated with puking outside. You know, I was underage drinking and that type of shit. So when I smelled that stuff, I was just like, oof.
I had one of those with Jack Daniels for a long time. Oh, fucking that! The first time I got drunk with some friends in high school, and oh my god, had no idea what I was doing. I mean, it's just no idea.
First time you
how
got
to
drunk,
drink
you drank
at all.
Jack Daniels.
Yeah.
Wow. Jesus.
Yeah, at a party with a bunch of my friends that were all like serious stoners, but I wouldn't smoke pot because I was doing martial arts, and I thought that pot was a drug and pot would fuck you up. But I would drink every now and then with them, and the first time I ever did, it was, oh my god, I was so
That's crazy.
Disgustingly blasted. I'm Jack Daniels.
I was old Milwaukee, just in comparison.
Jack Daniels. My dad had Strohs. Right. A couple of Strohs, and I drank like a third, and I'm like, am I drunk?
Yeah.
You know, there's no way I would do Jack Daniels.
I threw up in a taxi cab. Threw up in the back seat of the cab. Oh, it's fucking horrible. I could barely remember it. When I talk about something that happened when I was like 14 or whatever the hell I was, it doesn't seem like I'm telling the truth. You know what I mean? It seems like I kind of have a memory of that, but boy, is it fucking fuzzy. You know, if I had to describe to you like moments in high school.
Why? Because it was so long ago?
So long fucking time ago, man. I'm 44 now. When I look back when I was 14, I don't really remember what the fuck happened back then. I remember a few things. I can tell you where we lived. tell right. you what street we lived on. But if I like try to get specific with, I went back to where I grew up the other day, and it was really fascinating, man. Went back to the house and when I went to high school, that era of my life, and everything looked different than I imagined it. It was very strange. It was like, man, my memories of this shit are blurry as yeah. fuck. Like, you can start pulling them when you go back to towns. Then, like, you go, oh, yeah, I remember this is where we did this. And, mm-hmm. oh, yeah, this is where we did that. And they'll start pulling back because you
How
go.
How long had it been since you went back home?
Oh, it had been a long fucking time. I moved out of Boston in probably 90, 91 maybe, 92.
So you haven't been back in, like, 21 years?
Yeah, I had been back just every now and then to do gigs. Like, Boston itself made sense to me. But then I went to Newton, where I grew up, and I went, like, the house where I used to live, I went and looked at that. I was like, wow, this is crazy, man.
Yeah.
This is strange.
I've done that. Yeah. Gone back to houses when I was a kid, and you thought the front yard was like 9 miles long. It's like you can make it to the front door in 2 steps. That's why when you were a kid, you thought it snowed more. It's because you were a midget. You were just a dwarf walking around. Every snowstorm was up to your waist, you know?
I think that's good for you. I think it's good to grow up in a place where it snows, to have a little respect for nature.
You know, adversity.
We grew up in Boston, man. In Boston, you fucking respected nature for 6 months out of the year. For 6 months out of the year, you knew what the fuck was going on. If you had a flat on the side of the road, you might die.
Yeah.
Okay? How about that? You know, you could be out on your way to Mansfield, and they don't find you in time. The state patrol, you know, but the
you
patrol.
You get hit
state
by
trooper.
Some guy driving by.
Yeah. That happened to a friend of mine from high school. Dead. He was changing a tire. Guy hit the car and killed him.
Oof.
Yeah. Fuck that, man.
Bring up a bad memory. I remember being convicted of drinking and driving. I had to go to a Mothers Against Drunk Driving meeting, and I was all paranoid. There's going to be like 10 mothers screaming at me about what a piece of shit I was. And when I went there, it was the exact opposite. It was like 200 drunks sitting there and some woman trying to tell the story about her kid while all these fucking drunks bitched about their cases to her going like, oh, I blew a .08. And she's standing up there going, well, you know, you probably should discuss that with the judge. So Johnny was changing his tire after band practice. It was fucking...
Oh, no.
No, that was a watershed moment for me because I couldn't judge him. I was like, I am in this demographic of fucking idiots. And it was it's like, I am a 22-year-old freshman in college. I'm a fucking loser. And like within 12 months, I started doing stand-up and I got away from all of that crap. But
you don't drink at all anymore, right?
No, I do.
You do?
I do. I took a year and 2 days off. I wish I didn't start back up. It's just a bad habit. I mean, I don't get like, you know... But I love it. I love drinking. I love getting hammered. I hate the next day how I feel.
Yeah.
But I like all that shit. I like, all this shit that's bad for you. I like it.
Yeah, it's a very unfortunate that next day feeling. You know.
You got to switch the waters at some point. That's what when you become a professional. But like
that still doesn't really help. Doesn't really help.
I got one buddy.
You're wrecking yourself.
Yeah, no. I understand. I mean, none of it's good.
I do bad shows if I'm hungover. I don't like my shows. They don't feel good. They don't have the flow to them, you know, and I hate that feeling. I hate the feeling of being on stage, and it would be my fault if I was hungover. If I was hungover on stage, it's my fault that I'm working at, like, three-quarter speed right now, or it's not clicking right now. Like, that's so.
Well, I wish I could just have one. But it's not satisfying because you have one and then you want 100. And then you drink 100 and then you feel like shit. And like if I just drink one, like if I have one at lunch, then it's like I want to go take a nap. If
really?
I either got to keep going. If I keep going, I can go for like, you know, a good hardcore 4 or a gentleman 6. And then I'm done. But like
Do you pulled to it?
No.
Is it like Gollum in the Ring?
No, I don't even know what that means. I just
precious.
I just like
Ooh,
it.
Precious.
No.
Yes. No, I it like wants it. Us to drink. It's precious. Yes.
I don't even know what that is. I don't.
You
watch
didn't
it.
See the Lord of the Rings? You didn't see the Lord of the Rings?
I went to one of those, and it was so fucking long. And every time they would fade to black, I'd be like, just roll the credits. Just roll the credits. And then they would open up on some big field, and it's just like, Jesus, get the fucking thing back to the guy so we can get out of here. You know what? I fucking hate all of those movies. And I fucking pay people who don't have a sense of humor about the bullshit that they watched when they were kids. Like adults who talk about Star Wars. Like, that isn't a fucking weak movie now when you watch it. I mean, how
it's terrible.
It's horrific. I was making fun of the other night. The other night, I came home. I got free Cinemax, which is the greatest fucking channel ever. They either 24 hours a day, they're either showing the greatest movie ever or the worst fucking movie ever, and it's all compelling. I watched like 9 movies in a row. Like, this fucking channel's unbelievable. So I ended up flipping up, because late at night they just had some sort of, you know, softcore porn, which is ridiculous now when you have the internet. So it just was redundant. So I got off of that. So I went on to VH1. And they were playing this show, Metal Mania. And I was watching all these bands and these videos that I just thought were fucking sick and they're into the devil. Dude, I was just, by the end of it, I was like, how was this better than disco? Like, why did disco get so much shit? Like, I'm not talking about, like, the Iron Maidens, the Metallicas, but you know what I'm talking about. That middle of the fucking ground, those people with the spiked fucking gloves and all this stupid shit and raw meat. And it was just, it was horse shit. It was fucking, I watched it. It was the dumbest shit ever. It was embarrassing that I mean, granted, I had all of that music still on my iPod. I'm not above it. But if someone were from this generation were to come back and tell me that music was awful and was stupid, I would laugh. There's no way I could defend it.
Isn't it weird how you look at, like, if you look at music or you look at movies, that's like one of the clearest examples of, like, some sort of evolution or progress is going on with humans. Because, like, the movies of the past, like, so many of them they're so clunky, and the style of communicating is so artificial. It's such a shit, you know, right, representation of life in comparison to a real good movie.
Until the 60s, once they figured out, you know, like just acting on film, like those people just learning how to do it. So everything was going to be not, you know, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Like that type of acting had to go away with the Brandos and the James Deans and those guys. Right. And then you had to have like the, there's a couple, like there's movies back there, like Jack Lemmon, The Apartment.
Well, The Hustler.
Is way ahead of its time now. The Hustler.
The Hustler's an amazing movie.
Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah.
That type of shit.
There were some people that were
still holds
it
up,
right,
though.
But the bad movies from the 60s and the 70s, you know, try to watch, like, Jaws 3D.
Oh, yeah. No, that's just bad. That's a bad one.
There's some bad
movies.
But
they still have movies like that.
Sure.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
I think
for sure, to this day.
That Transformer shit, even though I didn't see it.
But if you see, like,
I never vibe with sci-fi people, like sci-fi listeners. I always get trashed by them because I just don't get it. Unless
you don't get sci-fi at all.
No, if it's like Aliens, like it has to be high quality. Like Aliens is like the Goodfellas of that sci. I like on like top shelf sci-fi. I'm gonna be in the Blade Runner, Aliens, and that type of shit. But if I'm just gonna go watch, you know, oh, we're in Hoth. I don't even know what the fuck that's from. What is Hoth? Is that, that's a Star Wars thing?
I don't know
what that
is. Yeah, like one of those fucking things with the action figures and shit. It's just.
Did you like Transformers growing up?
I didn't like Chewbacca.
I didn't get Chewbacca.
It's like, dude, you're a fucking
awesome guy to have around. He's huge.
Yeah,
can you imagine you could party with Bigfoot? I would totally party with Bigfoot.
Yeah, but he should be ripping somebody's arms off. He's shooting a gun like he's a fuck.
Well, he's a badass.
He's limited.
He knows how to shoot guns, too. He'll rip your fucking arms off, but he can also shoot you from a distance, bitch.
He's limited.
Oh, I like Chewbacca.
Star Wars, yes.
I would totally hang out with
him.
You know what I didn't
like about him? He was a follower.
Well,
he started.
True.
He started hanging out with all the humans. Next thing you know, he's sitting upright in chairs.
Right.
Right, sipping little juicy juices.
Yeah, I wonder if he could understand us.
Like,
could they understand him? They could speak that? Could Han Solo speak?
Yeah, I think it was a language, but we just didn't understand it. So
he
all
said
that
the
was
same
probably
fucking
easy
thing
shit
every time.
Not that many Wookiees, you know? It's like Chewbacca and, like, there's no other famous Wookiees.
No, he was like the dodo bird of...
Isn't that weird?
We're going to be destroyed on Twitter because our Star Wars knowledge sucks, and you know we're going to get this shit forever.
Dude, there's a fucking million Wookiees! There is a nation of Wookiees! There is a federation of Wookiees! You know not what you're talking about!
No, but there's nothing better than just having a fucking 10% knowledge of those movies and just criticizing them because it's just driving some kid nuts.
If you look at old TV shows like Father Knows Best, and then, you know, watch something good today, The Office, or, you know, is The Office good? That's what you're supposed to say.
I
haven't watched it.
I think it's good.
I haven't watched a sitcom in years. I haven't watched anything since maybe Larry Sanders.
I just watch sports.
Larry Sanders?
And unless
Larry
something huge happens.
What the fuck's his name?
Larry David?
Larry David. Jesus Christ. David,
I was watching some classic Seinfeld last night. That Larry shit Sanders is fucking awesome hilarious. Too,
by the way. That was an awesome show. Larry Sanders. I don't know why I pulled that out of my ass.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, it was an amazing show.
Seinfeld, remember that episode where Elaine, every time she went to the doctor wrote down notes about her? And then
I only saw a few Seinfelds, quite honestly. I maybe saw like 5 or 6 of them ever, for whatever reason.
Because you were headlining and you were on a hit sitcom.
I was not on a hit sitcom. I was on a sitcom that was like number 84 in the ratings. When News Radio was on, it did terrible. It was terrible in the ratings. It did
show,
good when it was in good time slots. But they moved us around 9 times over 5 years. So there was nobody who ever got cocky. Everybody right. was like, can't fucking.
There was always that good show that they just kept moving around. And yeah. like the creators were like losing their fucking minds. But you guys made syndication though, right?
Yeah, it did, but barely. It's kind of funny. We only did 98 episodes. You're supposed to have 100 for syndication. I'm pretty sure we only had 98.
But how does that work? Do you get checks now for like 3 cents? Does it still work like it was at halfway decent? I should be asking that on air.
No, it's okay. The people think you get really rich from it. The people that get rich from it are the people that own it. Right. So if you own the show and you sell it, but like the actors, they're going to get compensated. They get compensated very well, but it's not like what a showrunner makes. So when people see like, oh, he's on syndication, he's rich, not necessarily at all.
Yeah, because it seems like for the stuff I do, the first time you get paid, it's great. Mm-hmm. Next time they cut it in half on the second running, and then all of a sudden then you start getting checks for $1.30.
But when you're Tim Allen or someone like that who has a home improvement, then, you know, he owns, I'm sure he must have owned at least
part of
a chunk of that show. So when that shit goes to syndication, you just fucking rake it in. It was worth it for him, I guess, to stop doing stand-up for a long time. I shouldn't speak out of turn because I don't know if this is really true. This is just what I had heard. Was that Tim Allen was a very good stand-up. You ever watched Tim Allen back in the day?
No, that's what I heard.
He was a very good stand-up and, you know, a fun guy to watch. He was fun. But his show was like just a little rowdy, you know, just not dirty, not really, you know, it wasn't like Kinison or anything like that. But I guess it was too rowdy for the show. And they were saying, you know, look, you're going to be on Home Improvement, you know, you should tone that shit down, and you should stop performing, you know.
Right.
You're out there and you know you're saying crazy things about drills and hammers, and you know you got to get us in trouble.
So this probably wasn't the shit about the drills and hammers. I imagine it was the shit about being
cocaine.
In jail in fucking Michigan or whatever. That's all the
coke.
Stuff. Yeah, that I would want to hear.
Yeah, well, that was a weird thing when you hear about that. You're like, whoa, you could go to jail and then wind up on TV. That's pretty fucking badass.
No, when you get out of jail, you either get into sales or show business.
Yeah.
Those are the only two places they don't give a fuck. I hacked a guy up. All right, well, you know, do like 5. Bring up the next guy.
There was a dude that we knew from Rhode Island that beat a guy to death with a stick. I'm just thinking about this guy right now. Do you know Eddie Galvin?
No.
From Rhode Island? Was he gone by the time you were coming
Eddie
around?
Eddie Galvin?
Yeah.
I would remember the guy if he got beat to death.
No. He didn't get beat to death. He beat a guy to death.
Oh, Heckler?
I'm sure I'm saying his name right. He was a really funny guy, though. He was one of those Brian Holtzman type guys that was just like comics would like get into the back of the room to watch him when he would go on stage and just go, Jesus fucking Christ, did he just say that? He was a crazy dude.
Who did he beat to death?
Oh, some guy. I don't know the story. I don't know. I don't know what happened. I might not even be right.
Jesus, dude, what did you smoke before this? This is just like fucking so random.
No, I'm just...
I don't even know if that happened.
It popped up.
You just thought of Rhode Island and this whole movie started playing in your head. What's a
thought
famous...
of people beating people to death.
What's a famous movie that was shot in Rhode Island where someone gets beat to death? I bet that's just playing in his head right now. And that's what he's remembering.
Did you ever see Friends of Eddie Coyle? Is that it?
I saw that.
Mitchum movie, Robert Mitchum?
Yeah.
What a fucking great movie
that
is,
a good
huh?
movie. What's his face from Everybody Loves Raymond is in it, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Peter
yes,
Boyle.
Yeah, Peter Boyle. Yeah,
yeah.
Peter
I just Boyle saw that in the past year. All of a sudden, like resurfaced.
Peter Boyle was a fucking amazing actor. Holy shit, was that guy good? That's a great movie. Yeah. That is a really good movie.
I like those kinds of movies. That's the kind of shit I still like. If I buy something on DVD, I'm gonna buy like the Dirty Dozen, Magnificent Seven, like that era.
You know what I bought the other day? Le Mans. With Steve McQueen.
Yeah.
My God damn.
That used to come out once a year. They would play that on either TV 38 or WLVI Channel 56. I'm just saying this shit because I know you grew up that area, and I would. That's why I watched all those guys, all that Bronson, Lee Marvin, Clint Eastwood, all of that shit, and it was on a rotation the same time every year that they would play like the 8 o'clock movie.
Steve McQueen, did you ever watch it? You've seen Le Mans?
Yeah.
There was like parts in that movie for like 5-10 minutes where no one said a word.
Yeah.
For like 10 minutes. Like, you watch the movie, they're changing tires, they're setting things up, people go and get a cup of coffee, all this shit is taking place. No one's talking at all. And you're like, wow, this is like a different era. It's a different world.
Yeah, that's when the directors took over.
The world of, like, Stanley Kubrick, you know, the world of 2001, A Space
You know, Odyssey. Before that whole movement happened, that back in the day, like, the director, all the director did for the most part was just make sure that you were in frame.
Really?
And that you said everything you said. And then the second you rapped on the movie, the studio took it and they edited the thing.
Wow.
And it wasn't until, I don't know. I'm really speaking out of turn because I know about as much about this as I do about Star Wars. But like somewhere in the 60s is when the director started taking it over, going like, no, this is my fucking film. I'm going to edit this and we want to do it this way. That was sort of the first wave of that. And when that happened, that's when you had all the...
that's on Apocalypse Now.
Yeah. Oh, that was sort of
later.
That was 10 years after.
Yeah, but that kind of movie. That's where that comes from.
Yeah, and that was like that during that time. Like art was ridiculous. The music, you had the tail end of the Beatles going on. Those directors were taking over, and then you know Richard Pryor was like finding his voice, and like stand up was coming out to the forefront. Like that whole era in art is incredible.
Yeah.
But it's funny, but then they just, you know, that 70s show, they just boil it down to like lava lamps and crap. It's like, dude, it was a little more interesting shit going on back then. Than that. I mean, I know it's just a sitcom, but I'm just saying, you know, they do the early 70s is Nixon resigning and the late 70s is everybody doing coke, listening to disco. And then like, well, that's that decade. Now we're into the 80s.
How about Nixon?
Michael J. Fox picture.
I remember when Nixon was president. Do you remember?
Mm-hmm. I remember when I was a kid listening to him crying on the radio when he stepped down.
First Kent State and then Watergate. Like, has there ever been a more fucked up, crooked guy shooting at fucking college students?
I thought Johnson was in office then.
No, that was Nixon. That was Nixon.
Well, he wasn't there with the rifles, was he?
He probably was. It's probably his idea.
He probably was.
Son of a bitch. He probably wanted to silence these fucking punk kids. Nixon was a creepy dude, man.
He was. The fact that you're so paranoid that you fucking record yourself having conversations like what you thought was going to happen to you. I think losing to Jack Kennedy just fucked with his head.
Yeah.
Because I guess he blew him away in the debates on the radio, but if you watched it on TV, Jack was sitting there looking like a movie star, looking like fucking Tony Curtis. He's sitting there looking like some guy waiting to get his teeth cleaned.
It is true. When people will vote for looks.
No, he went from almost winning the presidency to his entire career being fucking over. He then lost, I think, the governor race or something like that in California, and he was completely out of office, and they were like, that's it, game, set, match. And like within 4 years, I don't know what happened. He signed a deal with the devil. That guy was in office.
Wow.
Lyndon Johnson was growing his hair, going crazy, and Nixon slid in. Bobby Kennedy got whacked. Doesn't it kill you that they just fucking knocked down the Ambassador Hotel? Like, they just don't give a fuck about history out here.
Yeah, it's weird.
If that was
isn't
in
it?
Dallas, they would have like an entire, like, they would, like, the entire block would be preserved.
Do you think it's an embarrassment? You think that's why they knocked it down? Because that's where Kennedy was shot?
No, because I think they do it with everything. I find it frustrating out here because it's very hard to feel grounded out here with just the endless, like, strip malls. If there's, like, a piece of history.
Right.
There's a way to be like, okay, this is from then, and this is what happened, and then this happened, and now we're here.
This is the steakhouse where John Gotti shot Paul Castellano.
Yeah, that type of shit. Like in New York, the Triangle Shirtwaist Fire, and they got a little plaque. They got all that shit. You can kind of be like, all right, there's a bunch of Native Americans buried under here. The Astor's got a bunch of blood money, and now they have a subway stop named after them. Cooper Union, that type of shit. But you're out here, and it's just like... you know, like they had like, you know, before 9/11, like the biggest like act of terrorism, like, you know, blowing up a building, people jumping to their deaths and shit, was the first L.A. Times building. And it's not the one that's there. Somebody blew it up at like 2 a.m. at the turn of the century. And I can't find it on the fucking internet where it was. I don't know what's there. There's no plaque. There's no nothing. Go fuck yourself. It burned down. Here's the new one.
Wow.
And that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. There's not much of a sense of history here. I mean, there's like the Chinese theater, right? That's the big thing. Man's Chinese theater. That's like a landmark.
Dude, they'll knock that Ambassador Hotel. I guarantee you there's like a Burger King sitting on top. They don't give it a Staples. It's just, I don't know. That's the one thing out here that that fucks with me after a while.
We filmed Fear Factor there. We filmed an episode there. I remember being weirded out. You know,
you went to it? I'm killing myself that I never went.
Yeah, I walked through the kitchen. I walked through where he got shot.
Yeah. And what was going on at that time? Was it shut down?
They rented out for filming. They rented out to people make movies there, and they were making TV shows there.
Wow, how creepy was that? I would have loved to have gone.
It was bizarre. I wish I had known. I don't think I knew you then, but if I had known, or you weren't here then, right?
I think I was living in New York.
Yeah, I'd met you, but if I knew someone was like a crazy Kennedy freak. That's a
no, just a history like that type of stuff. But I mean, come on, man. That's
would you ever go through that place in Dallas? Have you ever driven through Dealey Plaza? It was weird, right?
No, it was that was too much. They preserved the intent. You feel like it's weird that you're not in black and white as you're walking around. I mean, they literally, if you've never been there to your listeners, the entire block is this just watch, was it the Zapruder film? Yeah, that's the one in color. You're gonna see. You're gonna see those buildings. I mean, they're the same color, the whole thing.
Yeah, it's a real mind fuck too.
Yeah, because a block away, it's 2012, and you go there, and it's November 1963.
Bill Hicks had a great fucking joke about that place. He goes, you go up to the book depository, and he goes, and I'm trying to do a Bill Hicks accent, right. And he goes, and they have it marked off, and it looks exactly the way it did in 1960. What was it, 3?
Yeah.
He got shot, and he goes, 1963. You know why? Because Oswald's not there. Oswald's not there either.
That's hilarious.
He goes, they don't let you look out the window.
Dude, just that line he says as he walks in, oh, so I'm the patsy. That's the one that always sends a chill. You know, but you know me. Dude, I think everything is bullshit. I think the NBA is fixed.
That's
all the way
of the
up
most,
to that thing. So.
Most obvious pieces of bullshit. And you know what? Some fucking sports are fixed, man. That's reality.
No,
it's a lot of money.
The NBA had a mobbed up ref, and then they did an in-house investigation, and then they did the Oswald. Hey, he acted alone. Nothing to see here.
And they found, how'd they catch the guy?
How did they
Dude had a Ferrari.
You know what? I don't even know. I just remember it came on the news, and you know, all gamblers were all yelling, I fucking knew it. I knew it. I knew this shit was fixed. And then they tried to say it was just him. And I'm not saying they all are. I'm just saying, like, look, I always compare it to this. Like, dude, remember when you had a day job and shit? If two people were hooking up on the down low, how long did it take you to figure? They thought nobody knew. You could tell by their body language. You could tell what the fuck they were doing. You can't tell me you're on an NBA officiating team and you can't tell somebody's is fixing games. How many times? Okay, he was kind of weird tonight, then he's weird again, and then weird again. All of a sudden, you got to be like, this guy is, I don't know. If you're sitting in the crowd and you can notice, I just don't think another professional referee can't notice. I think it's...
they're investigating it right now, I heard.
One guy?
No, he already went to jail. He's already in jail.
Oh.
They already
I thought you were talking about the pack fight. Never mind.
Oh, no. We weren't talking about that, but we were going to. I was going to ask you, what do you think about Pacquiao Bradley? Was that fixed? That was the worst decision I've ever seen in the history of boxing. Never seen such a bad decision.
I didn't watch it, but here's my I don't know shit about the fight game, believe it or not, to look at me. Don't know anything about it. But I find it amazing that someone could come in at his light of weight, put on 40 pounds, not lose any speed, be stronger. Like, I don't know. How do you do that?
I don't know, man.
I
don't know, man. You got to talk to him about all that.
I would never. That guy, he'd headbutt me, then sing me a song, and then wait for me to wake up and kick the shit out of me again, right?
What do you need explosive?
I'm looking for my phone, man.
Oh. Did you leave it in the bathroom?
No, that's what I was worried about. I'm sorry. I panicked.
I think the NBA is just as filthy as boxing.
Did you watch the boxing match? Did you see the Pacquiao Bradley fight?
No, I didn't. But I've watched boxing. I see what happens.
It's the only fight where I've never heard of a fight before where I haven't met a single person that thought Bradley won. Not one person. I mean, they must be out there.
So what's the reason for doing it? To just make a bunch of money on for all the rematch. People who made... For a rematch for there a rematch. Because they don't think Mayweather's going to happen.
This is, yes, Mayweather's in jail right now.
Yeah.
And look, if I...
Not eating,
yeah.
From what I heard.
Oh, really? Like on a, like a hunger strike?
Yeah, like let me out of here or I'm not going to or I'm going to die is really? How I could tell. Look,
really?
Dude, I have an AM radio in my truck. I don't know. I went under a bridge halfway through that story, so I don't know. I don't know.
That's hilarious.
But that's what it sounded like. They
like
and
a hunger strike.
Because the prosecuting attorney was like, "Well, what do you think? He's in prison. This isn't the Four Seasons."
Well,
see, this is how rumors get started in bars by shitheads like me who have like fucking half the information they need, and then they just start pontificating to somebody
on the internet
who's taken a couple of hits, yeah. And then you'll back me up.
Oh, yeah, totally,
yeah,
dude.
Dude, I'm telling you.
Listen, I'm just happy to be in the conversation. Yeah, dude. Yeah, I bet that's exactly how they did it there. Yeah.
You didn't even listen to the first half of it because you're freaking out about your phone.
Well, Bob, I know that Bob Arum and Floyd Mayweather did not get along. And Bob Arum was Pacquiao's promoter, and Floyd Mayweather tried to make some sort of a deal with him, but he didn't want to do 50-50. Like, they were having a hard time bargaining it out. But if I was a promoter and I was a crooked guy and I was trying to fix something, that would be like the perfect fight to fix. Because there's nobody else that's interesting out there now that Mayweather's in jail. So who else is interesting for him to fight? I mean, if you were a mastermind.
There it is.
If you wanted
there
to
is,
put
right.
together a conspiracy.
I'm convinced. Exactly.
It would be a it's a brilliant money-making move, and you got to admire them, really.
Now everybody wants to watch Pacquiao get his revenge.
Exactly.
Dude, I mean, I think the NBA is the same way. I think they have their guys that they want in the ring. They finesse it.
Yeah.
Finesse.
Well, I also bet that Pacquiao's – I bet there's probably some verbiage in his contract that changes, you know, how much money he gets based on whether or not he's a champion. Right. Based on whether or not he wins or loses. I mean, I would imagine that something. Maybe not. He's such a draw. Maybe that's nonsense. Why would they gamble something like that?
I think that I like your theory that they would try and keep it interesting.
I think that's exactly what I would do if I was a corrupt guy. I'm not saying that they did that, but I'm saying, look, if I was like some dude in a Batman comic book that was manipulating, I got this boxing world under my thumb.
I don't think it's like that, dude. It's a business. It's a business, and you had a major asset just get taken off the table.
Yeah.
What can we do to keep excitement?
Good to keep it spicy.
Going like that. Yeah. And I think like, did you hear today on Jim Rome, he asked David Stern, if the NBA lottery was fixed. I know that doesn't mean shit to you.
What is the NBA lottery?
The NBA lottery is like basically, in most sports, if you have the worst record, when the draft comes around, all the new talent comes out of college or whatever, you get first pick. So that way the worst teams can get better, and it creates
right.
some sort of parity,
mm-hmm.
in theory. Keeps okay. them, you know. But the NBA, to make it more exciting, they have a lottery. So, like, the lower 10 or whatever the fuck it is, they all get a shot at possibly being number one. So then they put a bunch of ping pong balls into the thing, and then they pull it out like the Massachusetts State fucking lottery.
Whoa.
And they do that for whatever reason. Like, and some people think that they do it so every, like, 3-4 years when there's a serious guy coming out who's going to be, like, a Pacquiao-level guy, but like a basketball player as far as like a drawing power of a Pacquiao, and they have a major market that's hurting, they manipulate it where, like, you know, they're going to, like, the first year they did it, all of a sudden New York City, which had the worst chance of winning it, they won it, and then they got Patrick Ewing, which was great for hoop. Like, that's something, if they do manipulate that, I'm just thinking, you know, that's just a good business plan. You know? But anyway, so this guy, Jim Rome, asked him if it was fixed. Which is a fucking hilarious and insane question to ask the commissioner of basketball. Like, he's going to be like, yeah, you know what, it is. But he asked it.
Right.
And I guess Stern freaked out.
And what did he say?
He said, how could you even ask me that? He said, Jim, let me ask you this. He goes, when did you stop beating your wife?
Whoa!
Right. So everybody takes that literal. I never heard of that, but I guess it's some old school expression. That the what he's really doing is he's criticizing your question by saying when did you stop beating your wife, is the insinuation is that you're already beating your wife even
right.
if you're totally innocent. So Jim Rome
right.
didn't beat his wife.
Right.
He threw it at him like that, saying that's what you're doing to me right now.
Wow, what kind of hidden fucking Stanley Kubrick symbolism is that?
I don't know. And once again,
is that like an old conversation?
I have not heard the audio.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I was driving over on my radio, on the AM radio, going under bridges, and this is what I heard. This is all what I heard, you know?
I heard they found Sasquatch. Listen,
no, this is the thing about me, though. I admit that I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. It cuts down on so many angry emails, and it also makes people feel good about themselves. Most people think they're as full of shit as I am, but they never have that honest moment with themselves.
Well, your full of shitness, though, creates art, creates comedy, you know?
Yeah, by being the butt of the joke. I know how it works. I think I don't know how my bread's buttered. I got my voice down. I'm a fucking idiot. I make people feel smarter than they really are. I set the bar low, Joe.
It's not a bad move. I really like how you're rocking it.
Yeah. I shouldn't be here. I should have died of an appendicitis in 1980.
Really?
But they had enough medicine to keep me going. I'm one of the weak, Joe. I shouldn't be here.
Whoa. One of the weak.
Yeah. I'm going to be...
Is that how you feel?
Be allowed... Yeah, I think that's why, like, the sea of fucking morons that's out there, that's what it is. It's all the penicillin that's available. If you just brought it back a little bit, you know, I think we'd have a lot more shining stars out there. You'd see people driving better.
If there was more disease?
If you just let the weak die off. And I know I'm not going to make the cut.
Well, I think...
Dude, there's only so much chicken... There's only so much water out there. We've outfucked all of it.
Well, that's a terrible decision because it's often. There's a weird balance to the way life works, and when you say the weak, often it's those weak that are inventing fucking IMAX. And those are the ones that are figuring out how to make your internet faster and 4G phones.
They would have come up with that.
I don't think they would have.
They would have come up with
yes,
it.
Yes, they will.
You could leave those fucking sword swinging dudes. You could leave them alone for a million years, come back, they'd still be hacking each other to death with swords. They're never
I'm not painting with one color here. I'm saying the best of the best of the IMAX guys, the best of the best of the guys who will beat you down.
I think
the dream team of human beings is what I'm talking about here.
What I'm saying is the physically weak often are
I'm
the
I'm talking
most
about the people
innovative.
When the fucking aliens show up, the guys who got an actual game plan. Those are the guys who are going to figure out how not to get on that spaceship and get eaten. And isn't this obvious, Joe? This is
if I was walking
right down the street here.
If I was living on another planet and want a food source, people would be a good one. You know, we're like fucking rats on a sinking ship. We're everywhere.
I know.
We're just scrambling.
And I would come here for we would be like a nice steakhouse with all the fat marbled people.
Oh, we'd be the best. We're well fed.
You'd be like, instead of corn fed, it'd be like, this one's from Texas.
Yeah.
This one's from Houston. Would be like the Kobe beef.
People would
of
market
human beings.
Vegans. This is 100% vegan diet. The guy ate nothing but plants.
Nothing but plants. That would be like the edamame of human beings if you ate one of those guys. Cannibalism, everybody, on the Joe Rogan Experience.
Well, we know the chimps eat monkeys. Chimps eat...
Dude, assholes about it. I hate chimps. I fucking can't stand them, man. I watched this fucking chimp.
Scary.
This chimp ripped this fucking... They had this whole thing. I know you've seen this. You watch all of this shit. They were basically... I don't know what they did. They
set a trap.
Yeah, that one. And they had the infrared thing where you could see where the chimps were going. And they had...
It's really scary.
Yeah, it's like they chased them down the street, except it was in trees.
Yeah.
And they had two of their toughs hanging there, and they basically drove this monkey bait right into the trap. And this fucking chimp grabs him. He's standing on his back, and rather than just twisting his head and ending his misery, he just starts digging into his back, pulling pieces out of him. And this fucking monkey's just going like... Ah! Just freaking
screaming.
Out.
Screaming.
And this fucking thing is just sitting there.
He's
like...
He's biting on its hips. I remember that. He's like biting on its hips. The monkey's screaming. No way. Its little eyes are like bugging out of his head. It's dark. And that's our
fucking,
closest
dude,
relatives.
Yeah. And just like us, they're fucking evil.
Man.
I'd shoot a chimp, dude.
Would you?
If
you saw him in the
second.
Wild?
Oh.
Yeah.
No, if he's in
the
wild.
In the zoo? Right up to him. Fuck you.
Yeah,
pull it out.
No, yeah.
This is for the monkey.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
No. There's certain animals I could kill. I would be, after once that person got their face ripped off by a chimp, I would be
like a trigger happy cop.
Well, that lady, she was giving that chimpanzee Xanax, man.
That's crazy.
She was giving it Xanax and wine.
I used to give my cat Flonase because it's Persian and always had breathing problems, and I was really stoned. I'm like, I'll just put a little drop on the tip of her nose, and I'm like, that's probably the dumbest thing you could probably do.
Well, from what it's explained to me, I've never tried Xanax,
dude. What the fuck is that stuff? Bad for humans.
Don't even.
I have a cold now. I don't. You still have one. It's like that 5-hour energy. It's liquid coke. I need a nap now. I want to work all night.
You know what that is? Mostly, it's a lot of vitamin B12. It's not even that much caffeine. Those 5-hour energies are actually healthier, like on a chemical profile level, than it is to drink
Starbucks coffee. They are insane levels of everything that's good for you, which is never good.
Well, it's
a little
it's
bit. One glass of alcohol is good for you. You're not supposed to chug the whole thing.
You piss that out. It's none of those you have to worry about. And it's not like you're drinking them all day, every day, and you're going to develop toxic amounts of vitamins.
Once again, Joe, I haven't read about it, but I've already made up my mind. It's liquid coke.
That fucking stuff will kill you. You know, do you remember that there was some shit called Redline? Did you ever try Redline?
No.
It's one of those drink things. Any of that shit.
It would say like 3 servings or something. I don't know. This I'm making up. I don't know if it said 3 servings.
Hey, but you're driving your car underneath a bridge.
Yeah, you're in my arena now.
I'm in your arena because I don't want to get sued. I don't want Redline people pissed at me. But it was the strongest fucking caffeinated beverage I've ever had in my life. Like, I remember drinking one. I was tired and I was driving back from some gig and I got one at like one of those 24 marts at a gas station.
Yep.
And I just said, I'll fucking drink this on the way home. And I'm on my way home, and I'm like, holy shit, I am wide awake. I'm thinking all the shit I'm going to do back when I get home. I got to clean my fucking office. Yeah. Jesus Christ. And I could still get a workout in if I put an hour and a half cleaning, and then I do an hour of kettlebells. I'm thinking all this shit. I'm like, oh, I'm like on crank right now. Yeah. I'm essentially on some liquid amphetamine.
I don't mess with any of those sports drinks, energy drinks, anything that's fizzy. I don't fuck with it.
Coffee?
Unless it's like a root beer or a Coke or something like that, I'll do that shit.
Okay.
Oh, speaking of that, can I plug something I
yes,
have coming
please.
Up? I'm going doing something for the Oakland A's. They got root beer float day, I swear to God. And it's to raise awareness for childhood diabetes. Swear to God.
What?
I guess a long time ago, the root beer company, this was their cause and they were into it. And I guess there was no irony back in the day. So they are the ones. They are the ones. So I already know. Everybody on my Twitter thought that they were the most clever person ever. Like, I didn't notice how ridiculous it is to how funny it is. I think it's kind of funny.
I think
like,
it's awesome.
Let's stop alcohol. You know, come on down, open bar. Let's end alcoholism. You know, there's just something. There's something what I like about it. There's something almost like Anchorman, like old school about it, that I love it. So I'm going to go up there. And plus, you know, being a baseball fan of the way it used to be, where teams like the Pirates and the A's were good before all this, you know, the money markets won.
The money markets won?
Yeah,
baseball?
You know, big business, including the Red Sox. Like, I mean,
Roger Clemens, they said that he's still getting tried. He's getting tried again for something now?
Yeah, but none of that shit's about steroids. It's about perjury. Perjuring yourself. It has
about steroids.
About steroids, but it's really you lied under oath. It's the Clinton thing.
Right,
it wasn't
right,
the blow
right.
job. It's that right. you said you didn't get one under oath. You
right.
swore that you would tell the truth.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
They're going after that dude for doing steroids in baseball.
Leave the bankers. That's fine. Leave those guys alone. That's okay.
It's
but
amazing.
This motherfucker trying to claim he's got 300 victories.
That's amazing.
We got to stop this.
How strange is that?
It isn't.
Doesn't freak you out? But I mean, in 2012, they would waste any time on that. The fact that it got to Congress. They had congressional hearings.
I don't know. Something about baseball. Everybody gives
baseball.
A fuck about baseball. You got a mobbed up ref. The fucking NBA is able to handle that in-house. Yeah, it was just him. All right, see you later. Go fuck yourself. Let's go. Game's at 7. And this stuff here, like they for some reason, they had to get involved. I don't know why. I don't fucking read. I don't know what's going on. I really don't. I have no idea. So I never noticed like how truly uninformed I am until I get behind a microphone, because I always just hear the audience going like, dude, that isn't how it is. And it's just fucking, it's just ridiculous. It's fucking, dude, it is so fucking ridiculous that I've been able to earn a living and be able to eat 3 times a day with just the unbelievable lack of fucking information that I have, that you just act like an idiot in strip malls around the country.
Yeah, but there's a beauty in that. There's a beauty in that lack of information.
That's the weed talking.
No.
There's a beautiful
it's comedy. It's a beauty in it. That's your
this
thing.
This has been driving me nuts the whole time. Oh, I see. I thought this was added prosthetics to this fucking cat's head.
Poor cat's head broke.
When it moved in here, that was the first thing that broke. It was my favorite cat.
Oh, are you a cat person?
I used to be until recently. Now I can't. I'm done with all animals, I think. They're just you have to give them too much attention, and I don't have that time.
Well, cat would be good.
Being a bad parent.
Cats are like, you know, cats are like the loners, man. Go fuck yourself. Yeah. I'll come to you when I need you.
Yeah, you think that, but, you know, if it's
my cat's a needy bitch.
Like, yeah, my cats are getting, the older they get.
My cat is super needy. When I'm trying to write, meow, 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 tries to get in my lap all the time. And I'll give her like a little bit and try to send her on her way. But after a while, I'm like, come on, I got to write. Leave me alone. Stop.
Yeah, no, cats.
And then I have to pick her up and take her out of the room. I have to take her out of the room and shut the door.
Cats have that voodoo vibe.
Yeah.
Like they know the date you're going to die. They have like that look in their eye.
They're definitely different. I would not be surprised if cats couldn't see some shit that we can't see, know some shit that we can't know. They say that animals are the ones that know when earthquakes are coming. They start fucking freaking out, and they run uphill. Like when the tsunami came, no animals died in that shit. Or not no animals died. Very few animals died, like regular animals, like deers and shit. Because they all ran away. They all knew it was coming. They feel it. Like they have senses that we don't need.
It's because they're barefoot. They're on their hoofs. They can feel the rumbling. You're sitting there on your flip flops. Yeah. That rubber. That's all you need. That little half inch of rubber.
Yeah.
And you're not going to feel it. No barefoot guy died in that tsunami though. That's true. The last thing people heard before that wave crashed was the slap of human feet running by them. It's true.
Joe, yep. Remember that video?
100% true.
The dog bit this video? When the dog heard the earthquake?
No, I don't think I know this video.
Watch this. There's no sound to this, I don't believe.
Well, then how the fuck can we prove it?
But watch, you can hear the dog.
What earthquake is
out.
This?
I don't know. It was in 2010. We can find out in a sec. But
is this Japan?
No, but see, the dog runs. And then watch that.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
Ooh,
whoa,
Jesus.
That is scary as fuck,
now,
man.
Here's another view of the dog just running.
The dog's just like, go fuck yourself.
Look at all those cars move outside. This is such a dumb place to live. Yeah. We live in the dumbest place ever. We're just rolling the dice and hoping that the ground doesn't open up and swallow the city while we're here.
Yeah, but it's all, every place is dumb.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
This is going to be something. You live out in the middle of nowhere, then some grizzly bear can come and eat your face.
Have you been watching Mountain Men?
No, but I have the utmost.
You mean like out your window?
It's a new show on the History Channel.
I have like the utmost respect for fucking rednecks in Mountain Men. And people who can just
live off the land.
Green berets, just fucking drop them in the middle of nowhere, and they can just get a fire going and just live out there. And like that, you should know how to do that.
This Mountain Man show is a fascinating show. It's a bunch of guys who live in different parts of the country, all of them in the mountains. One guy runs his whole farm, and he puts on classes and teaches people how to survive, trains people how to survive in the wilderness so that you could live off the land, shows you how to plant kale, shows you how to hunt deer, shows you how to make like homemade deer stands. And he's doing all this shit. And another guy is living up in Montana, and this motherfucker has a gigantic grizzly bear that's stalking his house, and they see this thing. They got this thing on film, and they're shining a light on it. It's fucking enormous, and it's just wandering around his yard. The footprints of this thing the next day, and they're huge. I mean, it's a fucking giant bear, and it's hungry because it's starting to get snowy, and he wants to hibernate, but he doesn't have any food in his stomach.
So go get him some fucking sandwiches. Fucking have a big bag of raw meat out there. Let him get
the
itis. Yeah,
do.
No,
it's
he'll chow that down. He'll get sleepy.
You can never do that. If you feed a bear, they always remember where they got it from, and they come back for more.
Nah, that's an urban myth. Started by those park rangers just trying to get some press. You know what I wanted to watch?
The tweets are coming in now. Fuck you, Bill Burr. Yeah. You don't even respect animals. Unfollow.
I know. I love that. Like, I give a shit.
That's my favorite. Unfollow the fuck out of me, please.
I like the threat that I'm going to unfollow you. Dude, if you have one more sports text, I'm going to unfollow you. Really?
Unfollow.
Yeah, go ahead. Follow through with it.
Yeah.
I want to see that show where the The people who are preparing for the apocalypse.
Yeah, what is that?
I wanted to watch that because I think
what show is that?
That's another thing that you're an idiot until it goes down. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You look like a nut until everybody
the guy who
needs
sticks
water.
The money in the mattress is a fucking idiot. Because what if someone breaks into the house and then the banking system collapses? Right.
The real problem is not going to be storing food and containing water, because you could do that. You could store food and water, and likely you could ride it out for like a couple of months or so. The real problem is going to be your neighbor probably didn't do that. That's going to be the real problem.
No,
the other people that are, you know, close, that were poor, that were living day to day and check to check, what the fuck are they going to do when the food stops coming in? That's when the real problem kicks in. So it might not help that you have a lot of water and
no,
a lot
that's
of food.
Why you plant your food in the backyard. You don't advertise it by being in the front yard. Yes. Everyone's going to see. Or what you do is
through your yard in the middle of the night and
what
stealing
you
your vegetables.
Do is link up with your other paranoid neighbors. This is like a great beginning to a fucking movie, right? They link up. You got like three or four paranoid families on one block. And when the shit goes down, my house is the rally point, and we fight off all these other suckers. And meanwhile, we're bringing them bundt cakes, and everything's fucking cool, right? I only got the first 10 pages. Don't look at me like this is going to go all the way through the
this
fucking
This is like a Shane
credits.
Black script.
Who's Shane? The guy's name? Who's Shane Black?
Shane.
I don't know.
Yeah, so Black? Then. And then
wasn't
that
a famous screenplay guy? No,
it's like Red Dawn. We got to kill your classmate, except it's your fucking your neighbor. Somebody pees into a radiator. I don't know. I'll flesh it
Russia
out.
Russia is getting involved in Syria, and they're selling Syria these giant attack planes.
That's awesome.
They were talking about this in the news that now Syria is going to have these crazy Russian attack helicopters.
Can I be honest with you? None of that scares me anymore.
Really?
I have given into the fact that this is our destiny. Our destiny is that we are going to fuck ourselves over. And, you know, you can only die once. You just hope you don't have a chimp on your back eating your hip. Like, that's not a... you just don't want to go out that way. But, you know, you want to shoot some shit at me and fucking, you know, blow me to smithereens. How long am I going to give a fuck for? I'm just going to be like, yeah, for like half a second, it's over.
Hopefully. What if you get your legs blown off and then you have to live as
I'll
a prisoner
out.
Of war?
I'll bleed out.
How do you know you'll be able to bleed out?
What am I going to push my legs up against a frying pan and try to cauterize the? Is that the right word?
Sometimes they get fused from the blast.
There's no way. I talked about this on my podcast. Like, if I was ever faced with like that challenge, I don't. No, I could do that. But if I was neck down, there's no way. There's no way. I would just sit there and I would be going along with everybody and be like, "Wow, he's so positive." I'd learn how to steer my own wheelchair with my tongue. And the first chance daylight I got at a staircase, I just fucking steer it right over. I set myself right down. There's no way. There's no fucking way I could. Like people who do that and they can write a book are the most amazing human beings on the planet, because there's no way I would pass that test.
Stephen Hawking is the craziest situation, huh? Guy in a wheelchair can't even talk. Can barely move his hand to communicate. And he scrolls through words. He has some method of doing that, and then this thing reads what he says and says it out loud.
That's fucking believable.
Yeah, and he's like,
like
the top
I said, dude,
scientist in the world.
I should have died after the appendicitis. I'm one of the weak. I just it's just no way.
Well, he's like one of the rare guys that
took three jiu-jitsu classes. I tapped out for good. I'm out.
You should come.
My elbows hurt.
Come with me tonight, man.
Look,
you
I know I'm
it.
Not a man.
You would love
I don't
it.
Need to go down there and have it reinforced. All you guys could
just
twist me to a pretzel.
For exercise, it'll calm you down and make you feel better.
Dude, I'm like the calmest I've been in my life. I'm always going to sound like I'm in a bad mood because I have the East Coast accent.
Right.
Look, dude, you're fucking phony calm down. You're like, you smoke weed.
Well, I calm down from exercise, too. Weed doesn't necessarily calm me down as it does make me just a little more sensitive.
Red Band, you buying this?
Huh?
You think weed calms me down?
Yeah.
Dude, you are a completely different person. Like, when I met you in like, 96, 97, you were a good guy, but you were one of the most intense fucking dudes. It was like this switch somewhere in your life was flipped, and the shit was on. I don't even know how you slept. You were like fucking goal line defense, middle linebacker. That shit doesn't mean anything to you. I'm using sports analogies. Like, you were a fucking intense dude. And every I heard about you at Taekwondo events, I believed all of it after meeting you for like literally about 25 seconds.
Well, I was transitioning then still. That was still just a few years.
You sound like a guy trying to make
parole. Fighting. No, it's true.
He was transgender.
When I was a young guy.
Crazier when I was younger. I was going three.
My entire childhood was spent competing in martial arts tournaments. From the time I was like 15 to the time I was 22 was my last fight.
So do you think it made you like that, or it tapped into something that was already there?
I don't think I would have been that intense if I didn't have to deal with really dangerous shit on a regular basis. It was the fact that you were fighting in tournaments on a regular basis, and nothing ever happened to me. I never got hurt, but I easily could have. I easily could have zigged when I should have zagged and got knocked the fuck out. It just never happened. I only lost once in a kickboxing match, and that was not that I didn't lose before in Taekwondo, but lost once by stoppage. The only time I ever got stopped is in a kickboxing match. That was the third fight in a day, and I was terrible nutrition back then. Always getting sick, you know, didn't really take vitamins and shit. And I was on the fence back then. I was like doing stand up and fighting at the same time. So it wasn't like a bad knockout. I got dropped by a left hook, and then I got up, and my legs just wouldn't work. And he hit me again, and I fell down again. They stopped the fight. Like, it was just, he had hit my jaw like in the perfect spot, and everything gave out. And I was thinking about it, like, when I was going back, that there's one of two things I'm going to do. Either I'm going to go fucking crazy now and rededicate myself and try to be a world champion kickboxer and just use the fact that I got tired in the third fight of the day as motivation to just run extra miles and do extra plyometrics and do extra rounds. Or be a stand-up.
Yeah, no, no-brainer. At least the way I'm built, it's
yeah,
a no-brainer.
I was like, I can't. There's no reward in that. There was no Ultimate Fighting Championship back then. There was no. So it's like I had to reprogram my brain. I had a my brain was used to always thinking about martial arts competition. That's all it was. It was dodging kicks, landing your own, you know, getting in, closing the distance, and you know, and enforcing your game plan. That's what my whole day was spent fighting in my head. Even if I wasn't fighting, I'd be fighting in my head. When I was I had girlfriends, they'd sleep over, and I would
they already love what
I would throw
going.
Kicks in the middle of the night, like boom, like my whole body would jolt like a kick because I was having a fighting dream. So I was terrified. I was constantly terrified. I got really good at it because I was absolutely horrified of it. I just did not want to get my ass kicked. And I was already doing it. I'm like, well, if this is what we're doing, then we got to get really fucking good at this, because this is not something you can half-ass. Dudes are kicking dudes in the face and knocking people unconscious. Like, this is fucking terrifying. I saw it happen so many times. I saw it happen to good friends. I saw it happen to people who were better than me. They just fought the wrong dude at the wrong time, which easily could have happened to me. It didn't, but it easily could have. Like, our instructor never protected us at all. He put us, even when we were like kids, when we were teenagers, he would put us in the men's division and, you know, and tell you, like, you're good enough to fight as a black belt when you were like a blue belt or a red belt. He wanted to see who was crazy. He wanted to develop a team of people who didn't give a fuck.
That's so funny that you could do that with kids. Like, that guy would be on the like, at the very least, local news.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It was very cultish. The martial arts schools are very cultish. It's yes, sir. No, sir. It's all like almost military. You know, like, it's always bowing when you see him. You know, there's you always bow. You always call him sir. It was very.
I can. Like, I've never been able to exist in that dynamic, no matter what it was. Like, there's no way I could.
I needed it. Yeah. I grew up without a dad. I have a stepdad, but my real dad, I knew he was alive, and I didn't communicate with him, so it always fucked with me. So I needed some sort of intense discipline to get my shit together. So the first time I ever felt like I had any control of my life at all was when I started doing martial arts. I was like, whoa, finally, I can fucking get good at something. Look at this. I'm good at this shit, you know? But so that's why I was so wound up when you first met me.
Makes sense.
It took me a while to relax, you know? If you're trying to be the best in the world at kicking people in the face, that's an intense pursuit.
But I found that the few fighters that I have met, most of them, and I always felt, because it's like they already proved that they're a fucking guy in the ring, that when they're hanging around, they're just relaxed. They don't want any problems.
Most of them are really tired from training, too. You know, when you're a fighter, you know, man, when you're not training,
oh, I never
man,
thought
you're just
of
trying
that.
To kick
I just always
back.
Thought like, hey, I just knocked the guy out on television.
No,
I went into a ring
confident.
Wearing no shirt. It's just like blood sport. I kicked the fuck out of this guy. I don't give a shit about you and your Dockers. Go ahead, talk shit. I don't give a fuck. Like I always felt like that vibe. So I always felt that they were. After I met a couple, it's like, oh, these guys are, yeah, they're chill. They don't have anything to prove.
Yeah,
like, walking around.
It's definitely that too. Definitely that they don't have anything to prove. The worst part about being a man is dealing with dickheads. You know, and the less dickheads. That like the smallest amount of dickheads in the world that I operate in is guys at the gym, nicest guys. When I go to jiu-jitsu class, fucking everybody in the class is nice. There's no dickheads, none. Everybody's just training hard, doing their thing, and it's fun. I think it's way easier to be a nice guy when you know how to fight. It's just way easier. It removes a big thing that fucks with a lot of dudes' heads.
It's also easy if you don't know how to fight, like me. If you just just be nice.
Just well, be nice, too.
People don't fuck with you.
I believe in being nice, too. It's not like people fuck with me. I really get away with very little fucking with. Most people are really nice to me. People say, oh, is it weird, like, people coming up to you that, you know, you don't know them, they know you? No. Most of the time, they're just being nice. Like, 99.999% of the time, they're being nice. You know, so, but I'd rather be the guy who can defend himself, you know, than a guy who worries about some weird fucking person doing something to them.
You know?
I don't want to plant any seeds in your head.
Describe me. No, I don't overly worry, but ever since I've got, live in a house now. And ever since I've lived in a house now, there is something fucking unsettling about that, where it's just you in that. If someone comes in, they're getting you. Whereas like an apartment building, there's a bunch of options. It's like a buffet. You know?
The apartment building thing is weird too, because you don't know what the fuck these people are up to. You know, who knows what that guy? Where's
this
guy
making
his money?
But I know where you live. So if you're gonna do something, you're gonna fuck with your neighbor. You're crazy.
That's weird too, though, isn't it? When you like, you know, you look at each other like. Across the hall, hey, how you doing? You shut your door. He shuts his fucking door to his. He's sleeping right there. He's like feet away from you.
Or he moves out, and then you feel like a loser. I bet he's going to a better building. they're never moving back home. They're always going, moving on. I remember Patrice used to talk about that. He used to talk about how people moving out of. When he was young, when he would see neighbors moving away, he would always be looking out the window, all sad. He would get like depressed. Like, I don't know why. We used to laugh our asses off talking about that kind of shit. Just picturing Big Patrice sitting there. Little sad
all
Patrice.
All bummed out.
Yeah, like he's in some sort of Christmas episode or something.
I lived in a real cheap apartment complex in Revere when I was first moving out on my own. I lived with a girl there. And I remember it was really cheap. It was a shady place. It was not good.
Right.
And it was one of those, and all these fucking people would be cooking weird shit. He'd walk down the hallway. He'd smell all kinds of weird ethnic food. It was just very strange. Like the aromas of food were so potent in poor neighborhoods. You know, like it's very rare you walk into like a real high end apartment complex and you smell some like
goulash.
intense spices. Someone's fucking making fish head soup.
You know what's funny is I can hear that metal door slamming and echoing.
Yes.
My first apartment when I lived in New York, when I would walk in, there's just that overwhelming smell of somebody cooking some fucking cow's head. They got it at a market. Me and Bobby used to live together in this place in the Upper East Side with this Nigerian dude. And he came home one day with all this fucking meat that he had bought or whatever. And he cooked Bobby some, and Bob ate it. It kind of tasted a little gamey or whatever. He's like, what is this? And he just was like, it's cow. He goes, I know, what kind? He's like, it's cow. Like, I don't know, he was eating a hoof. It was just, part of the cheek or something. I don't know what the fuck he was eating, but it was the weirdest looking, the texture of it. I didn't fuck with it. That's when Bobby should have known that he had some sort of food issue, or he was starving. Because he said, fuck it. Bobby's a more open dude anyway. So he was like, yeah, I'll try this shit. And I looked at it, I was just like, I'm not fucking with that. That looks like a tree stump. That's supposed to look like a rump roast.
He pukes easily, doesn't he?
Does he?
Isn't he like have like a gag thing where he just starts puking nonstop if he hears somebody?
I've never seen that.
E-Rock. Doesn't E-Rock have that?
Yeah, I think he does.
Because remember, like Jimmy pulled his, he had his belly button. He came in his belly button. Oh, he put his finger in his belly button. He's making people smell it.
Oh,
I smelled it.
So great.
Yeah,
why?
It's because I wanted to know. I wanted to know what it smelled like.
What it tastes like.
Didn't taste it, you silly bitch.
That's the most disgusting thing.
I did smell it, though.
I got to tell you, though.
The guy asked me if I wanted to smell it. You know, I'm right there. I don't want to be rude.
The closest I ever came to puking in public like that was on the Opie and Anthony. Oh, you were fucking there.
Yeah.
Baby bird. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
No, before that, when they had the eggnog drinking contest.
Oh, my God.
That, to this day, is the most fucked up thing.
Insane.
I've ever seen, and it was absolutely brilliant. And it was Nathaniel. He named you. You were the one who said the only thing that can top that is if somebody leaned back and opened their mouth and had somebody puke into it. So you had the idea, and then Nathaniel named it. Nathaniel
the baby bird.
Called it the baby bird,
which made it. That made it, because think about it, you ever seen a baby bird get fed by its mother?
Yeah.
The mother essentially like opens its mouth and like fucking yaks in the kid's mouth. Oh, it's so hard to watch. It's so glorious.
Do you know
though.
I told that story like 3 days later.
But tell the whole story to so people didn't see it know what happened.
Okay, it was basically it was an eggnog drinking contest. And if you ever had, even if you like eggnog is fucking disgusting. It's unbelievably sugary and heavy. And dude, every time I tell a story, I start to gag, and I haven't told it in a while.
It's an incredible story.
So basically, what you had to do is you had to do a double shot of eggnog every 30 seconds, or once a minute.
It was like every few seconds. I don't remember what.
Yeah,
the,
it was like
the,
once
the
a minute.
It couldn't be once a minute because he had 72 shots, so it couldn't have been once a minute.
No, he didn't know. Oh,
yes, he
was up. He was up to 40 something.
Really?
I don't remember. Who the fuck?
Why
knows?
Do I want to say 72?
All I know. Was well, then let's just watch it. You wouldn't think
you
it
might
would
be right.
Bad.
Yeah, let's just watch it.
Into his mouth.
That's the great Pat Duffy.
I have to get rid of this.
I remember this young man's name. He's an intern, and I remember his name.
Pat
like,
Duffy,
you
legend.
Are a savage, sir. This is Pat from Wendake.
Because I can
73.
Thank you. Thank you. How's the memory, kids?
73.
Yeah. So anyway, Pat from Wendake is, by the way, a diabetic.
Who lost a toe to the disease.
So he has to get this out just right after it comes in. And it starts going, and he's, oh, my God. And when it comes out in giant clumps at first, but then after a while, it comes out cartoonish. Right there, that's cartoonish. That is cartoonish. That is cartoonish. That is, oh, my God.
That's cartoonish.
Oh my God! Oh my God! Oh my! That's insane! That's insane! The sheer volume is insane! Oh my God! Again! That guy's the Peter North of throw up. Oh my God! Spit on him.
That is the most fucked up thing. How do you top that?
You can't top that. That was the greatest moment in radio history.
Again.
And only Opie and Anthony would be fucking crazy enough to do something like that.
That was amazing.
That was genius.
I've only been watching the Pow Talk version this whole time. I just never really watched the real version. I've always been watching the Pow Talk version. It's so much better quality.
There's a couple different cameras in the room.
I told that story like 3 days later.
Look at his fucking head. That's insane.
Check it out on openanthony.com if that's still.
And then they try to clean his head off. They didn't even have a shower for this young man. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen. The greatest moment in radio history, because it was just so, the stars aligned with a guy who's 300 fucking pounds who can drink 73 shots of eggnog.
There's no morning show has ever even come close to that.
Nothing in the neighborhood. And then just the stars aligning with this Pat Duffy character being so incredibly insane. He had already built his way up to it.
All the shit that led up to that? There was all those funny nicknames we had. There was the one guy, he would take the shot, and then when someone would go to puke, because basically we didn't explain, last person to not puke wins. So what would happen was people would be getting full of eggnog and you're not going to puke, but then someone would puke, which would make you puke. So this fucking guy, every time someone would go to puke, he would walk 3 steps away and just face the wall. We started calling him Blair Witch. Remember that? Yeah. And then there was the other guy who already puked, and he puked into like a fucking, I don't know, like a, what do you call it? The thing you pour like
pitcher.
A pitcher. He puked into that, then poured it on Fruit Loops and would start eating his own puke in Fruit Loops to make other people puke. That was the terrorist. He was taking people out with him. And I just remember there was so many. And then I also remember
terrorists, because he's taking people out with him.
And then there was Pat Fumunaki, the champion. And after he won, he kept drinking. And we were like a true champion, he's only competing with himself. And he just he put the record out. Like,
he crushed the record. He crushed
dude,
it with a mallet.
That had to be like a gallon of eggnog.
More, I think.
Yeah, it was like buckets.
These are double shots. I mean, he's not lying. Bill's not lying. If you go and watch it, you will not believe. What is the video you just played? What version is that? There's a bunch of them.
Yeah, I just went to YouTube and typed in Opie and Anthony.
Baby Bird.
And it's the first one. Don't do the Pal Talk version. That one's the bad quality version. But one right below.
So Eggnog Champion.
Most insane, you know, this thing. So I've been trying to tell this. When Nia had one of her friends over, and I was telling the story, dude, and I was literally laying on the floor, crying, laughing, retelling the story. This is like 3 days later while gagging. And I remember Nia's friend was horrified. She finally says, "Where do they get these people?" And that's what set me over the top. I was like crying, like, "I don't know." And that was it. And I almost puked. Like, if I actually went into detail and went to tell that story, I would start gagging again. I don't think I ever won't gag telling that story. That was the most disgusting thing. And the amount of people on the staff who – everybody gets the point. The amount of people who puked. The smell of fucking stomach lining. Oh, God. What the hell it was. All right, now
that's my Sunday night. I just got I'm now finally over that, but I had food poisoning and it fucking ruined my life.
It's such a great way to lose 10 pounds, though, isn't it?
It's true. I did lose about 9 pounds from that.
Yeah, that's not good, dude. You got to be careful. You got to be careful with your sushi, son.
And I can't even eat now. It makes me even feel nauseous.
Good. You should use it as a time to get like in great shape.
Yeah, I've been eating watermelon.
Where did you eat?
That's good.
Sushi at Katsua, or whatever it's called at Glendale, Americana, or whatever.
And that's a decent place, right?
That's a nice place. Sunday sushi. People are like, dude, what the fuck? You ate sushi on a Sunday. Never do that. I'm like, oh, yeah, it was happy hour sushi Sunday. That's probably that's the worst time to go.
Because it's Friday sushi.
It's old fish, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, and they're getting rid of it.
Yep.
I never thought about that. Yeah. Do they not have a 7-day fish market?
I don't know. But I guess that's the thing, Sunday sushi. I'd like to get Gordon Ramsay on the case.
It's so amazing how we've been able to cut that out of our lives, that whole food gathering nonsense. Like, while I was watching this Mountain Men show, and watching this poor guy with shitty rodeo knees. He's going out looking for deer, like trying to get a deer, some meat for the freezer, while he's looking for bears constantly. Like, what an amazing change of life it's happened when they figured out how to cut out that whole gathering food.
That was already bad enough. Bad knees looking for a deer, and then he does the over the top wild looking for bears.
Yeah, it's dude, amazing. You got to watch the show. It's a great show.
No, that's why
I watched it last night for the first time.
I'm comfortable being in the Matrix. I'll starve to death, and it'll be a brutal month, and then that'll be it. I don't want to be walking around with my bad back out in the fucking woods trying to shoot deer in the face. I don't want to do it. Trying to gut it with some sharpened stick. You got me, all right? I'm part of the week. I'm not supposed to be here. That's for someone like you. You'll tap back into your when you threw kicks in at night.
Yeah, I'll just grow a crazy mountain man beard, wear animal skins, make my own spears.
That's the name of a good Bruce Springsteen album.
Make my own spear?
No, when I threw kicks in the night.
Well, I threw kicks in the night. When I threw kicks in the night. When I threw kicks in the night.
It just had something.
It would have to be like a breakup. And Marjorie word meant to be together.
And something about being young and getting out of the town.
And, yeah, and then getting away from all the boozers. And,
and then you're going to the chorus. When I threw kicks in the night.
I would split my inseam when I. He still writes songs, huh? Bruce Springsteen still is out there rocking.
I have to see that guy live because Jim Norton's finally the guy who put me over the top. Because Jim was yet another guy who I don't want to speak for him, but he didn't seem like he was a fan. And then saw him live and was just like, dude, you got to see this guy live. He's just fucking insane. I just as a performer, you got to go see the guy.
Yeah, that's what Brian Callen was saying. The dude's like in his 60s. He does full back bends and slides on his knees on stage, just like. You know, he's like he's in fucking tremendous shape. Puts out a 3.5-hour show.
I did a stand-up show, and he was one of the acts on it. Swear to God.
What?
Yeah, sickest lineup ever. I did a thing called. I know I've told this on like 20 different podcasts, but it's a great story. I was, I did this stand-up for the troops. It's this great benefit. It was at the Beacon Theater, and this was the lineup. It was the Max Weinberg Band, was the playing the music in between the acts and beforehand and afterhand. John Stewart hosted. First act out of the gate was Tony Bennett. Then it was Bruce Springsteen. Then they auctioned off one of Bruce Springsteen's guitar, went for like $100,000. Then Joe McHale had to follow that, somehow did that. Then me, and then Seinfeld.
Oh, my God.
That was the show. It was insane. It was insane. And I remember looking over, you know, waiting, you know, didn't want to go over because that's like Jerry. It's the king. I don't want to piss the guy. And I looked over and he was literally like backlit with his suit on, like Jerry ready to go out on stage. It was like fucking iconic. And I was looking over like going, I'm at the Beacon Theater and that's Jerry Seinfeld right there going to go on next. One of the great, great nights of being in this business, man. But I saw Bruce Springs sang one song. He was jumping all around. I was on the piano and everything. And I was just like, wow, this guy's, I can't do that. This guy's got 25 years on me.
What song was it?
I don't know. I never got into his stuff.
So were you the first guy to do stand-up?
Joe McHale had
Joe McHale did.
Joe right. had to, yeah.
He's a good dude, man. I did that
yeah,
talk
show. Yeah, he's a great guy. He's a great guy.
Really nice guy. It's nice to know there's still nice guys out there. Like, you meet people that, you know, hang out with them for
you
the
know,
first
my,
time.
My theory
like, oh.
is most people are.
A vast percentage in our business are. In comparison to the way people think of us, people think of comedians as being like, comedians are always miserable, they hate life, they're really only funny when they're on stage. There's a lot of stereotypes that go along with being comedians.
Right.
A lot of them.
There's a lot of truth in that. I was miserable for a while.
Some, but the vast majority, you were miserable for a while?
Yeah.
In what way?
That just, you know, what happens in your late 20s and early 30s when you don't think you're a psycho and you're not, you don't think you're out of your mind, and then you realize, oh, wait a minute, I'm completely out of my fucking mind. I'm just, you know, you're just walking around saying hello to people. Hi, how are you? Nice to meet you. You know, paying your bills on time and you think you're normal. And then all of a sudden, you know, some shit happens and you're like, oh, fuck, I'm this guy. I need to work on this, need to work on that. And, you know, hopefully you make the right choices, and by the time you get to your late 30s, I don't know, this is just how it happened for me. I started, like, leveling out and being like, all right, what am I going to be angry the rest of my fucking life?
I certainly did that, too. You know, I mean, pot can't be 100% to blame for me calming down, but
No, it's a bunch of things. There becomes that point. Yeah. You're either going to steer it into the wall,
yeah,
or you're just going to try to chill a little bit. But getting back to the other thing, though, there's just way too many talented fucking people in this business for you to, I feel, to even if you were a dick, to get away with it. For, mm-hmm. Because all they're waiting for is that first project you do to flop.
Yeah.
They're just looking for, I mean, they're going to hang with you while you're making the money. But
well, there are a lot of people that are dicks, and, you know, and then they stop working. I mean, I have friends that are directors, and they tell me horror stories about having to work with some crazy lady who yells at them on the set and, you know, demands changes to her character because her character wouldn't do this. And they're like, my God, we got to get through this fucking season with her, and then they're going to kill her off. I mean, they tell you stories about shit like that, and you're like, God, this business is
no,
just,
and you can get away with that for a little while, but like, you know,
not very often.
Yeah, the next you is getting off the bus every day. You know what I mean? Yep. If you're just going to go the performer route, so there's always going to be somebody younger, fresher face, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so if you You can't. I don't know. I don't know how you survive doing it the other way. So,
well, knock on wood.
I've yet to be on anything. I mean, I haven't done a lot of acting stuff, but everything I've ever done, everybody's been unbelievably nice.
Yeah, but we all know guys, especially comics, that are kind of cunts.
Yeah, but how far do they get?
Some get pretty far. They get pretty far.
You're killing me. I was thinking there was a justice in the world.
No, the examples that I could pull up, you know, especially my favorite example, is kind of been diffused, you know. But Mencia is a bad guy, and that's, you know, he was a vindictive guy. Like, what he was doing to comics was, he was going after them. Take their shit and do it right before they went on stage, like that kind of thing. Take your closing bit, do it right before you go up. Try to kick your legs out from under you. That was a bad guy. And that was a guy who did it for a long time. He did it for a long time. It didn't last because eventually people figured it out. But for a long time, it did work.
So there's I've never had to be around somebody like that. That's,
I know, we're lucky. Show business shelters them, though. There's a little bit of shelter.
Subtle stuff I've been around, but like nothing to that hardcore level. I keep thinking that's Ellen DeGeneres.
Who, you?
No, Hillary Clinton.
I thought he was talking about me.
I thought you were looking at your video and going, what the fuck is going on?
No, Ellen's way better looking than, Jesus Christ, don't do that to her. I just out of the corner of my eye. Hillary Clinton stole Ellen DeGeneres' old school haircut.
Hillary Clinton.
Who she stole from Wayne Gretzky, if you really want to be honest.
Yeah, that's a...
Yeah, Wayne Gretzky.
It's a weird
Wayne
gig,
Gretzky.
Man.
Okay, Ellen. Okay, she had... this is how that haircut goes. Before her, Ellen DeGeneres
Patrick
had that.
Swayze.
Before that, it was Wayne Gretzky.
That's Patrick Swayze, bro. That's Roadhouse.
That's what's amazing about the 80s is a guy had Hillary Clinton's haircut. Like, a lot of guys had Hillary Clinton's haircut in the 80s.
A lot of guys did.
Yeah. I would have, if my hair didn't grow out like an afro, I would have rocked that thing. I tried to grow the mullet. I did. But my hair was too afro-ish. It would just grow out. So I look like a redheaded Juan Epstein. So I was like, I can't do this.
Juan Epstein. He hits us with a Welcome Back, Carter reference. Nobody knows who Juan Epstein is, man.
He just passed away.
He did?
Just passed away a few months back.
Oh. He played my brother on news radio.
He did? How cool was it to meet him?
It's cool. It was Nick DiPaolo, Brian Callen, and Epstein from Welcome Back, Carter.
Did he tell you any Juan Epstein stories?
No, really. He was just happy to be working. Nice guy to be around. Friendly guy. It's hard for him, man. It's hard for a lot of those dudes. It didn't work, you know. You know, they did this big hit sitcom, and then they had a hard time getting work after it. Meanwhile, John Travolta takes off and becomes this fucking gigantic movie star, and just sort of eclipses them. And then it becomes a story of, well, how come these guys haven't gotten any work when John Travolta is a superstar? Yeah. You were in the same movie-ish TV show as John Travolta. How come you're not a superstar?
I don't know how actors do it, because, like, if you're on a movie and it ends as a comedian, you still have it. You just be a comedian. Then you put out a new hour special, and you can, like, reinvent yourself and all that. Like, I think trying to make it just as, like, an actor, a character actor, that's one of the hardest things ever.
It's got to be brutal. Sitting around waiting. And that's why so many of them are so phony. Because they're constantly being politicians. They constantly have to sort of protect their image and sell a certain image. And, you know, they got to try to push things.
I find the same thing, like, with actors. I find they're nice.
It's
definitely a different energy. It's a much more not as intense.
Like, as comics?
Yeah, comics, you know, comics just the you're up there by yourself. Yeah. People are going to heckle you. You have defenses up, where they're kind of more like, they're a little more open. You know, they came about this in, like, acting class, and everybody's got to go up there, and much more healthier sort of easing into this business.
But, I mean, that's the only way to be as a comic. It's a nutty fucking business.
You're going to go
on stage and... some shit that you wrote down and made up, and you're going to tell it to these people, and they're going to laugh? Are you sure? And they're going to pay money to hear that? for an actor, all you have to do is pretend to be crazy.
Isn't that the biggest surprise? The first time you did that, you wrote something you thought it was going to be funny, and then you just say it, and there's nothing. Just that fucking invisible kick to the chest.
You're so confused. Like, I knew this was going to be a huge bit for me. Like, I just think I found my new closer.
Or what's worse was when you had one and it destroyed, and then you went out, and the first time you tried to recreate what you did the night before, but you were thinking about the night before, but you didn't realize. The reason why it worked before was because you were in the moment, and then you try to do what you did the night before, and it falls flat. That quiet ride home with yourself.
Yeah, and there is the reality of different fucking crowds. You know, a lot of people like to say it's never the crowd. That is absolute horseshit, because there's some crazy fucking crowds, and there's some crowds where you'll tell a joke, you know it's a great fucking joke. This is your fucking ace in the hole, starting off slow, but I'm going to hit him with this, and away we go, and clunk. Yep. It just comes out like this. No, this isn't the crowd. There's something wrong with this fucking crowd. You know, when you're just showing up. Did you do any strip clubs or anything like that? Did you ever MC a strip club or
strip clubs?
Rock and roll.
I'm trying to filter all the ones that I went to, and I'm trying to think if there's ever a show. Is there ever a show?
Did you ever do road gigs? You did. Where?
I did. There was this titty bar in New York City. But it was weird. Like, on the other side was the titty bar. It was during that Giuliani stuff where he was like, okay, 40% of this can't be pornographic.
Yeah, pornographic.
Pornographic. Pornography.
Pornography?
Do you see how fucking stupid I am? I was trying to say pornographic. I said pornography. And I thought I was on the right track, and I just kept going, pornography.
Like, it's going to come to you. It's going to...
Fuck. Pornographic. So technically, we were there, but there was no girls walking around with like titties out or anything like that.
Right.
Oh, it just reminds me. I remember some girl told me a street joke, a really bad street joke, and it involved lifting up her dress and showing me her pussy. What the hell was it? And I couldn't get it the heart to tell her that I already heard that joke, and she went all the way with getting like the tattoo. You want to see my pussy? That's what she said. You want to see my pussy?
And she lifts up her skirt, and it's a tattoo of a cat.
And says, I guess a mouse ate it or something. What? How the fuck does it go?
Oh, I don't know.
It's a tattoo of a cat. How the fuck does that go?
I don't know.
I can't remember the end of the joke. And she did it, and I'd already heard the joke. And I went... I laughed anyways because I didn't have the heart to be like, yeah, I already heard that one. Someone else has that joke on their body. Am I bombing at this point? I feel like I am. I have to go to this
pit, you gotta leave now,
pitbull
right?
thing. Yeah.
What is the pitbull thing?
I don't know. They're always trying. Oh, it's for a shelter that gets people to rescue those beautiful dogs that are fucking awesome, and they have your back, and they'll love you to death. And
I love those dogs.
Rip somebody's face off but if they come to the door.
They're tough action around other dogs. You have to be careful with
dude,
them
you know what it's
dogs.
Like? It's like driving a sports car. You have a lethal weapon that there's a responsibility. It's like owning a gun. It's like anything else.
It's not like either one of those things because you can control both of those things. You can't control an animal that has its own
you know
will
what? You
and
desire. You need to step into my dojo.
Dogs, I love pit bulls to death, but they're dangerous dogs.
They are dangerous dogs, but you respect that. But you have to respect that they are dangerous. That's why I worked with a trainer for like almost a year. Mm-hmm. And at this point, me and my girl could take our dog, walk it, through a bunch of 5-year-olds holding raw meat, and there wouldn't be a fucking problem. There just wouldn't be.
You say that, but you don't know that because dogs do strange things. I had a dog kill one of my dogs.
Yeah, I know.
Came home and saw a fucking bloodbath in the kitchen. I never would have suspected that.
I know. But how much did you read up on the breed before you got it?
Oh, I read up a lot. I've had them for years. I've had them for most of my life.
All right. I don't want to get into this debate.
No, I love the dogs.
I sat here. I supported you and your lifestyle. And as I'm walking out, hyping my fucking little charity thing I'm going to, all of a sudden I'm getting static.
No,
I see how this game is.
I'm sorry.
Do you know what this is?
I do love them.
This is a bait and switch.
I do love them.
I've had a bunch of them. All dogs are fucking nuts. They're nuts, okay? They are nuts. These are great dogs. I love mine to death. It's tougher than I'll ever be. It's like, you know, you ever see my bodyguard? That's what my dog is. I'm like the little nerd riding on the handlebars trying to find that piece for the carburetor.
You have a pit bull?
Yes, I do.
How is he around other dogs?
Likes little dogs, gets competitive with big dogs. So we now take it to the dog park. Problem solved.
Just make sure that you have like a sturdy leash and you never have them around dogs, right?
Yeah.
Dude, they're great
to have
around
way
the yard,
beyond
man.
That.
They're so
that's
smart.
That's like me saying, listen, make sure you don't stick your thumbs in here when you make a fist. Like, that's what you're saying to me right now, okay?
No, I'm not. I'm not even suggesting it. I'm just asking how you do it. Like, what is your? Do you have a philosophy behind it? Because some people don't have that philosophy. They just say, "I see problems coming, and I just cross them across the street." I just, you know, they
that,
everybody
that,
has
that
their
would
own.
Be the martial arts version of just avoiding the fight.
Yeah,
avoiding
absolutely.
The confrontation. There's that.
Hoping that there's, collar there's holds
a
certain, up.
Yeah, you have to have the right kind of collar. You have to know what to do with the collar. If you know what to do and how to hold the leash, mm-hmm. you can get that thing's gonna go the same way. You get somebody in a hold, and where they want to stand up and sit down, they have no fucking control
right.
because they're like, ah. It's the same thing with, like, you know, the next, like, pivot point. Have tried fucking.
Choker collar.
Yeah.
You, the ones with the points where it doesn't
no,
put them to sleep.
No,
those are fine.
No
they don't
points.
Hurt them.
Yeah.
They don't hurt them.
I don't do that. Listen, you're going to get me in trouble here. This I have to go to a bunch of fucking tree huggers right now.
All right, man. We'll save some pit bulls. Anytime
Absolutely.
You want to come back and do it again. When can people see you do stand-up? When are you
I'm
going to
be
again?
At the Improv in San Jose.
This weekend?
This weekend.
Awful.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday. My whole new hour is coming together. And that is it.
The San Jose Improv is fucking awesome. That's a
I
really old theater. That's a cool, old, historic
it.
Place, you know. So thanks for coming by. Follow Bill Burr on Twitter. We're the ones who talked him into getting a Twitter page. And now you got like 100,000 people on that shit, right?
I was the first one to make you one.
Yeah.
I'm getting up there, yeah.
Brian was responsible for you.
Thank you.
For your digital revolution. It's Bill Burr, B-I-L-L-B-U-R-R. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks
awesome.
For having
Thanks
me, guys. All right, we'll see you.
Thanks to, should we just end this, Brian? Do you have anything more to say?
No.
Okay. Friday night, Ice House, 10:30 p.m. show. We got, so far, a mad lineup of Brendan Walsh. Who else is it?
Brendan Walsh,
Bert Kreischer,
Eliza,
maybe Bert
maybe
Kreischer.
Bert Kreischer, Eliza, Doug Benson, Aiko Tanaka, and a couple other people.
That shit's devastating, people. 10:30 show, and me. Oh, yeah, I'm on that show,
Nick
too.
Nick Youssef.
Oh, Nick Youssef, too.
Springsteen album? What are we coming
up? Kicking in the throat kicks in the night. I should call that. Should I name my special that? Throwing Kicks in the Night.
That's pretty
funny. That's it. So come on down Friday night, Ice House in Pasadena. Go to icehousecomedy.com for more details. Thank you to The Fleshlight for sponsoring our podcast. Go to joerogan.net. Click on the link for The Fleshlight. And if you enter in the code name Rogan, you will save yourself 15% off the number one sex toy for men. Go get them, boys. We're also sponsored by Onnit.com, O-N-N-I-T, makers of Alpha Brain and the source of more twats on my message board than any other product I've ever been involved with in my life. I want to thank you for exposing yourself. Haters are like fucking snake venom. You got to go? Later? Bill Burr,
See
I'm going to leave. Go to Onnit.com, click on the link for... What does it say? Alpha Brain on my website? I didn't remember what the link says.
It's
Alpha. Use the code name Rogan. Save yourself 10% off any and all orders. Lots of new stuff is coming down the pipes, including the kettlebells and the protein powder. The kettlebells, I think you can buy them now online, but I'll let you know when the official launch happens. All right, you dirty bitches. We will see you Friday with an Ice House Chronicles that you can only listen to online on Ustream, on my Ustream page, or on iTunes on Death Squad. So subscribe, and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.